Hallelujah. Y'all go ahead and have a seat. I tell you what, it sure is an honor to be up here to speak tonight. And I was joking around in the office, and I guess somebody in the church office where I work at in Broken Arrow found out that I was going to be speaking tonight. And they're like, "Hey, that's great." And I'm like, "Yes." I says, not only did they get to the bottom of the barrel, they dumped it out, nothing was there, so they flipped it over, and then there was all the dirt and the bugs on the bottom, and they scraped it off, and hey, here you go. No, not really, not really. It sure is an honor to be here to speak tonight, and but the truth is there are a few people out of town, and we do want to remember them. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are out taking a much-needed break. And Pastor Craig, he actually just left leading out a mission trip to Thailand. And I tell you what, back in Broken Arrow, your sister campus in Broken Arrow, there is a lot of excitement around there. I think a lot of the excitement is because all the students just took their finals for the third term. And they're taking it walking into spring break. So they have a week that they only have to study for anything. Amen. They're just having a blast. They're having fun. But there's also quite a few of the mission trips that's going out. And we have, like I said, Pastor Craig is taking a mission trip to Thailand. And then we have a couple other mission trips, to Peru. I think the dean of the school is taking a trip to Peru. And we have the Navajo Indian Reservation. That trip has gone out. My son, actually, he's a leader in the youth department there, and he just took off, I think, Saturday morning. They went to Columbia. Got a text message from him. He's there doing fine. And I think Miss Denise, the student ministries pastor, or Pastor Mrs. Hagen's daughter, between the youth director there, they have 8 different places that they're speaking at, and then some other stuff that they're just finding out about. We also have our third year missions class. The group has taken off Tuesday, I believe it is, and they're going to be going to Columbia, out to the Darien jungle. So is it not Columbia or where? Panama. Why am I saying Panama? It says Panama right there, to the Darien jungle. So not only are they going to be out there, they're going to be out in the jungle. 6 weeks they're going to be gone. The spring mission trips is a week or less that they're going to be going out on. But the third year missions class is going to be going out on a mission trip. Who here has been on a mission trip? Just raise your hand. Hallelujah. We got a good number of hands in here, 4 or 5, I think it is. Who in here wants to go on a mission trip? Hallelujah. We have the same hands, about another 5 or 6 hands. Hallelujah. Well, what I would like to do is I'm going to call Julie up here, and I think, is Matt finished with the offering yet? He's getting close to finishing. They're going to run out. I'm going to call her up here. We're going to pray for her. And she is a third-year mission student, and this is her home church. And she started coming to this church here when we started in this building, her and Matt did. And after just a short time of being here, she's like, I'm going to school. And Matt has already graduated from Rhema. And I want everybody to come up here. We're gonna gather around here. But she's in her third year now, and she's about ready to take off on another mission trip she's been before. So we're going to send her off properly. So if you guys will come up here, and again, like I said before, the word says we should pray one for another. So y'all gather up around her and Matt, and we're going to send her out in style. Amen. Hallelujah. Just come on around here. Come all the way around this way. Just come on around this way. That's good. Just lay hands on her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much for this family, for Julie and for Matt and for the kids, Father. We just lift them up to you right now, Father, and the entire third year missions class, Father. We just pray right now for their safety as they go and as they return, as they go to the other side and they come back, Father. We just lift them up, and right now we send ministering angels out in the name of Jesus, and we command them to prepare the way prepare the way for them to go safely and return, Father. Right now we pray that you just give opportunities for them to be to boldly proclaim your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray physical strength into this family, Father, that as Julie is going to be gone, Father, that she has a physical strength to endure the 6 weeks, partly in the jungle and partly not in the jungle. But Father, as she is missing from the family, she's only missing physically. She is with them in heart and she is with them in spirit, Father. That we give this family, we pray into them, that they have the physical and the emotional strength to continue to carry on for the 6 weeks until she returns, Father. We thank you for it now in the precious name of Jesus. We lift up the other mission groups that are gone out, Father. And again, likewise, we send the ministering spirits to keep them safe as they are there and to bring them back home safely to us, Father. We thank you for it now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, as you guys go ahead and return to your seats, we're going to get going here. Hallelujah. 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 Well, as we get going here, we're talking about mission trips, and we're talking about the excitement that's in the air, the excitement that's amongst all the students and all the other people that's going out on mission trips. And if you have never been on a mission trip, I highly, highly, highly encourage you to go. That's a nice, polite way of saying you better go. Okay. Now it's great. I think a few months ago we announced the mission trips, and this is Rhema Bible Church. You're an extension, but you are Rhema Bible Church. So when we have the mission trips in Broken Arrow, and we announce the mission trips, you guys hook up. You guys can take off, and you guys can go on these mission trips as well. Okay, and you can be part of it as well. And so we're talking about the excitement of mission trips. And I just want to share tonight briefly about mission trips that I've gone on. And I won't go into detail about every single one of the mission trips because we might be here for like a full 45 minutes. No, okay, not really. But I just want to share briefly about one of the trips in particular and a little bit about another trip. And the trip I want to talk about tonight is a Kenya trip I had gone on. This was the most recent trip I went on. It was this last June, so we're talking, 10 or so months ago. And, before you go on a mission trip, there's things that you have to do. And, Pastor Hagin talks about you have the natural and the supernatural coming together. It does what? An explosive force, a powerful force. It's an explosive force for God. So when you prepare for these mission trips, there's some natural things that you have to do, and there's some spiritual things that you need to do. Now, ultimately, the spiritual part is God will take care of that. But, first of all, you got to start praying. And I encourage you to start praying right now, okay? A year from now, there's going to be more mission trips, okay? Start praying now, okay? Pray for direction. Pray for which trip to go to, okay? One trip might sound really cool and the other trip might not. I don't know. But what you should do is start praying now that you'll have direction. You'll have that guidance on what trip you should go to. There's nothing wrong with praying for safety now. Start that ahead of time. Start praying for safety. Start praying for the finances. Okay, you may be in a situation where you just reach in a pocket and bam, there you go. You got everything. But you also may be in a situation where you're going to have to raise support to go on a mission trip. So again, start praying for those things. You want to start studying the topics. Okay, you also have to understand as you get closer and you start learning what your role is, you're going to have to start praying for wisdom and for guidance on what you want to do in that role. I had mentioned the Columbia trip earlier, and you know, Miss Denise and Brother Rob, they're speaking several times throughout this shorter than a week time frame. They're speaking several different times, several different meetings. And the fact that they're speaking, they can't be with the group of high school students. So my son is a leader in the youth up there. He's basically been asked to keep the cattle in one pen, if you know what I'm talking about. They're he's going to be helping moving the high school students around. So that's just one thing that Miss Denise and Rob doesn't have to think about. So he has a different role. Now, he's probably going to be speaking from time to time to the youth, but as they got several different moving parts going on, you have to start identifying what your role is once you identify the mission group that you're going to be going on, and start praying that out. Start, you know, going ahead and looking for the wisdom, or going ahead and looking for the guidance on what you're going to do. And if you're going to be primarily speaking, you got to start praying about your topics. Okay, the trip that I went to in Kenya, we were told initially that it's a 4-day ministers conference. Okay, so you're going to have all these ministers in Kenya that's coming together for a conference. And during the conference, we'll speak probably about one time. It's a 4-day conference. There's three of us going, and we'll probably speak maybe once or twice. As we got closer and closer, I would say probably a week or two away, I am so thankful that the Lord kept putting several things on my heart, because I was trying to determine, well, what do I talk to him? Do you want me to talk about this? Do you want me to talk about this? Do you want me to talk about this? And I'm so thankful he laid three things on my heart, because a couple of weeks before the conference, we were getting the final details of it, and the bishop over in Kenya that was holding the conference, he has about 280 churches underneath him, and all those ministers were going to come together. And the leader of our group was asking him, okay, so what's itinerary? Who's doing this, and who are the other speakers are going to be? He says, oh, no, you don't understand. You're the only speakers. And we're like, oh, okay. And they had a morning service, an early morning, a late morning, and an afternoon service, and there was three of us. Well, we ended up speaking three different times. And then the leader of our group, he took the fourth time on the last day, which was the Sunday. So you start praying about the topics ahead of time. Start finding out what the people there are going to need and what the Lord wants you to speak on. You start studying in those particular areas. Now, you know, there's also some natural preparation that you need to do. And you need to start having some meetings. Some of the earlier mission trips I went on, the meetings consisted of telephone calls, because the three of us that went on these other two meetings, one was a pastor of a church in California. The other one basically is an itinerant minister, and you never really know where he's at. He's just all over the place. And then, you know, I'm here in Oklahoma. So our meetings, if you will, were phone calls. But for this particular Kenya trip, you know, we met together for, you know, a half hour, an hour, and we started talking about some things. But for the 2 or 3 months leading up to the trip, we met several times. And the purpose of our meeting several different times was we prayed, okay? We prayed for direction. We prayed for the safety. We prayed for several different things about the conference. We also talked about the itinerary. But the really cool thing is we never shared each other's topics. And then what we found out later on is all three of our topics just gelled right together, and it was exactly what the people needed, because, you know, as the conference was going on, and at the end of the conference, Bishop Alex, who put it all on, he basically said, brothers, this is exactly what we have been praying for, what we've been looking for. So that's another important reason for prayer. So you meet with the team members and you make your travel arrangements. How many of you think that if you're going to go on a mission trip, it's important to make travel arrangements? Okay. Because, the last thing you would want to do is, a day or two before the reason or the time that you're supposed to be leaving, you look at each other and it's almost like the Three Stooges. Well, what are we doing? Okay. So you need to make travel arrangements. Pray about the travel arrangements, okay? I don't want to appear to be hyper-spiritual or anything, but as you pray, just say, Father, as I start making the travel arrangements, I pray that you're going to show me, give me wisdom on which flight I should book, you know, which itinerary I should accept. So that's just another part of it. How many think that if you're going to go away, Julie's about to leave for 6 weeks, okay? Did Julie pack? Yes. Well, at least I hope. If you're like me, I'm a last-minute packer. But you're probably going to be packing some clothes. You're going to need to find out the different items that you need to pack. And depending on the location you're going to, that's pretty much going to dictate a lot of stuff that you pack. And for instance, when we went to Kenya, that was a little bit different than a couple of the other locations I had gone to. That, you know, uniquely, there's mosquitoes around Kenya. And there's not any in the other areas that I had gone to. So you need to prepare for that. And I say prepare for that because those types of mosquitoes can carry malaria. I mean, this is just different things that you need to think about. So what I'm going to talk to you tonight about is mainly when I'm talking about Kenya, I want to talk about one night in particular, probably my third or fourth night that we were there. And I was laying in the bed, and I'm going to say that I was meditating. No, I was trying to clear my brain so I could go to sleep and get a good night's sleep and jump right back up first thing in the morning. But there was four things that came to me that night that I was laying there. Now, you have to understand the environment that I'm in. We were in Kenya. We were in a mission that was built by the Norwegians, I don't know, 50 years ago. I don't know how long ago that it was built. A long time ago. And so, I mean, it was, for Kenya, it was very nice facilities. There were concrete buildings. But again, we got mosquitoes. We were told ahead of time, watch out for the mosquitoes. They, you know, they can carry malaria. And so in the room that I was in, there was a bed. It was a single bed. And we had this big net that hung from the ceiling, just like the old Casablanca movies or something like that. You have the net that's covering the bed, and you want to tuck it up underneath the feet of the bed and everything. And so I was laying in the bed. I had a fan going on. It was oscillating back and forth. And I was just laying there. And these four things came to me. So I'm going to share these things to you tonight. And these things basically came to me about the preparation, okay? The preparation that we were doing, and not the entire preparation, but just a small part of it. And not that we were doing it out of fear, okay? And the reason we weren't doing it out of fear is because we knew that we had God's protection, but we also knew that we were supposed to go there for a purpose in return. So it's not the fear that brought this on. It was just sheer wisdom. And if you, you don't have to right now, but if you go through and you look at the Proverbs and in Ephesians 5 as well, those scriptures can talk about the use of wisdom. But the first thing that came to mind is the immunizations that we needed to go into country. It was suggested that we get the full hepatitis vaccinations. It was suggested that we get whatever the medicine's called for malaria. It's a big, long word, but it's basically malaria pills is what we're telling the doctors. And so as we were preparing for that, I thought about the immunizations. And I thought about, and again, these four things that we're talking about is not just for a mission trip, but it's applying it to life, just everyday life. So I thought about the immunizations. We had to get the medicines, the vaccines in us so it can start on the natural side. It can protect our bodies from the inside out. And then I related that to the word. How many of you know that you got to get the word in you? You can't just read it, let it flow by or something. You can't just, you know, carry around a Bible and everything and, you know, say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and just quote scripture. But you got to get it in you. And what I mean in you, once it's in you, you got to put it to use. And if you will, go ahead and turn to Psalms 119, verse 11. Ooh, hallelujah. Psalms 119, verse 11. And I'm not going to totally wait for everybody to turn to these scriptures. Just for the sake of time, I'll probably go a little bit quicker. So this is like a Bible drill. Okay, hallelujah. You know, there was we had a presentation because the bishop, he also ran an orphanage. He's got great vision out there, and I don't have time to explain his vision. But he's running an orphanage. And during one of our conferences, one of our events, all the kids came forward, and they do this every Sunday in church, and it's a Bible challenge. And the group of students stand in front of the congregation, and they're looking at a bunch of adults. And they'll say a Bible scripture, and they challenge the adults to give what it is. And then they flip it. They quote the scripture, and then the adults have to give the address, you know, like the Psalm 119:11. I think it's the coolest thing in the world because the kids have it just like that. Anyway, so Psalm 119:11, we're going to be looking at the New King James. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, that word hidden, it means to keep safe or to protect. And I think of a safe in my house. I put things in there. I lock the safe because I don't want anybody getting inside of it. The only one that can get into that safe, theoretically, by manufacturer's intent, the only one that can get into the safe is me or my wife. Because we know the combination to get into the safe. See, so no one else can take it out of there. That's how the word needs to be. It needs to be safe and hidden. It needs to be protected in you that no one can pull it out. You're the only one that lets it go. Amen? And I'd want to go to 2 Timothy 2:15. And while you're turning there, I remember... I really don't know if it was an interview or if it was his wife or his best friend that let the cat out of the bag, but the illusionist Houdini, or the magician, whatever you want to call him, you know, they asked him about safes. Or he was talking to somebody about, you know, how he's able to get locked into a safe and get out just like that. Well, what he was saying is safes were designed to stop people from getting in. He goes, I choose to be locked in because it's easier to get out. I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's a turning your pages story while you're flipping to 2 Timothy 2:15. This scripture talks about be diligent. And in the King James and the Amplified Version, the word diligent means study. So be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you take that same scripture into the Amplified, I really like what this says. And it says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly dividing, rightly handling, and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Amen? So how many know, as you get that word inside of you, and you meditate on it, you chew on it for like a cow chewing his cud. You just, every now and then, you just bring it back up and meditate on it. And you just keep it inside of you. And you know what that word says. So, tested by trial. I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself on my points here. But when trials come, amen, when that doctor comes in and says, guess what? When you go out and you open up the mailbox and you're like, oh, no, not again. Okay. What are you going to do? Okay, are you going to turn the word loose on the situation? Or are you going to accept the situation and then see what happens? Amen. I suggest you turn the word loose on the situation. And so, yes, I'm getting ahead of myself. And in Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. The word was written for us. It was written for us to learn so that we can have hope. And how do we have the hope? And again, when trials come, you hang on to that word because that word gives you the hope that you know you're going to be healed. You know that your finances are taken care of. It could be as simple as you know your car is going to start and you're going to get a new battery soon. Amen? It can be as simple as that. So the word was written for us to learn so we can hang on and have hope. I like 1 Peter 2:2. In 1 Peter 2:2, the New Living Translation, it says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. And I have two children. I have a grandson. And I like Mrs. Hagen talking this morning, if you saw online. And if you didn't, I encourage you, rhema.tv, guys. Sunday morning and Wednesday night, just get on the internet and watch Rhema. But she talked about how for years, you know, she was, I don't know, a little bit torn, but her heart went out whenever she heard about mission stories, but she didn't want to be a missionary. And ultimately what she said was she had a heart for missionaries, but she didn't have a calling for it. Amen. So I say that to say I have a heart for children's ministry. I don't have a calling for children's ministry, okay? I just, you know, praise God that I started working as an usher and not in the student ministries department. I love my wife dearly. She goes back here every Sunday night with y'all's children. And I love the other children's ministers, particularly the Sunday morning children's ministers, because that service has a tendency to go a little bit longer, like Melinda back there. Hallelujah. It's, you know, I have a heart for them, but I don't have a calling for them. But where it says, cry out for this nourishment, how many of you know that when a baby's hungry, they're going to let you know that they're hungry? They're going to scream, they're going to cry, and you're going to give them your full focused attention. So what you should do is you should cry out in your hunger. You should cry out for this nourishment for the word. Amen? 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. Let me ask you, have you ever tried to work on something that was incomplete? Okay. My daughter just a couple of nights ago was working on a puzzle. I don't know if she finished it or not. But I've tried working on puzzles before, and if there's, you know, one or two pieces that are missing, particularly if it's like a 1,000-piece puzzle, you get towards the end and you're like, where is this? You know, it almost drives you nuts a little bit, okay? So what you do is if something is incomplete, it bothers you to work with it. And if something, if you're not really equipped, I was renovating my house in Maryland, our house in Maryland, and I totally gutted down the bottom all the way down to the wall studs, re-insulated, and I'm doing all the work myself. And it comes time to put the drywall up. And how many of you know that I've probably made several trips to the Home Depot or the Lowe's? Because if you don't have the proper tools, you're not getting the mud and the tape or the joint compound just right. And then, you know, once you start doing that and then you start to put up the little corner molding, the aluminum or the steel corner molding, you probably need another special tool for that, okay? You got to have the proper tools. I was working on my son's car about a month ago now, and I dropped the screw. The one and only screw that I had to have dropped. And I can see it, but I got these big meaty hands in the arm and it just really wasn't getting there. And I thank God that 2 years earlier, I don't know, I was walking through a parts store and for $1.50, I found one of the little bitty cheap telescoping extending things with a magnet on the end. I had the proper tool that I could extend it, get in there, and get the screw that I'm looking for, that I needed. Amen? So the word will complete you, and it will properly equip you to do the calling that God has on your life. Amen? And without the word, we are incomplete and we're not properly equipped. Well, what do you need to be properly equipped for? What do you need to be prepared for? I talked earlier about immunizations, about needing proper immunizations, how they were recommending hepatitis, and I needed the malaria pills to go to Kenya. Well, making different appointments and whatnot, I decided, because I'm a military vet, I could use the VA. I get stuff there for free instead of go out in town and pay for it. Why not? So anyway, I go to the VA, and I'm looking at my medical records beforehand, and I see where I had the hepatitis A and the hepatitis C injections, but I could not confirm. There was two different records conflicting, and I could not confirm that I had the hepatitis B vaccination. So the lab and the doctor at the VA, they said, well, come on down. We can take some blood. We can test it, and we'll get the results in a day or so, and we can know that if you have the vaccine inside of you, and if you don't, then we can give you the injection. Sounds like a plan. Let's go do it. And my wife is with me. We have our eye appointments that day. We finish seeing the eye doctor, and now my eyes are dilated. Everything is blurry, and I go into the lab. I tell her I should only be there just for a moment. And so I go into the lab. I am the only person. This is a Saturday morning appointment at the VA. It's the doctors, it's the nurses, it's the technicians, and the Finleys. It's like we're the only one. I'm like, 2 minutes, sweetheart, I'm done. So I fill my name out, I drop it in the slot, I turn around, and just as I start to sit down, they call my name, I go back there. About 30 minutes later, my phone, I get a little text message, you know, the little doorbell, saying that I have a doorbell alarm saying I have a text message, and if I don't respond to the text message in a minute or so, it's going to do it again. So about 30 minutes, close to 45, I don't know, somewhere around in there, I get a text message. And I know, this isn't even by the Holy Ghost, I know it's my wife texting me saying, where are you? Well, I'm going to back up about 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and I'm sitting in the chair. They got the thing strapped across, and I got my arm out, and they got the rubber band here, and he's tapping. He's about ready to put the needle in there. By the Holy Ghost, I guess. I just tried to make small talk. And I'm not afraid of needles. I'm not afraid of stuff like that. But I just said, so how's your day? How's your day been? And he's sitting there, and he's got the needle, and he says, well, really, it stinks, you know, just like that. Just as he said, well, he said another word. But anyway, just as it stinks, he puts the needle. He did a great job. I've been poked multiple times by the same person for the same thing and still couldn't find a vein. But this guy did a great job. Anyway, so I said, okay, so how's it stink? And we talked, and we talked, and we talked. And he was a Christian. He was just having a bad time. He was having a bad day at work. He was having a bad, long day at work, you know, with various different things. So anyway, we fast forward to the text messages. And after probably another 5 minutes or so, I walk outside of the lab. And my wife, she's just looking at me. She's got this, what took so long? And she goes, what took so long? And I says, do you really want to know? And she's, yeah. And she's learned a long time ago not to ask me what I'm thinking and stuff because weird things might come out. But they're okay things. But anyway, I says, do you really want to know? And she goes, yes, because we had a schedule. We had a schedule that we had to keep that day. She goes, yes, I want to know what took so long. And I says, oh, I was just talking to him, and he's now filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. With a needle in my arm, okay? So here she is. She's bracing herself up on the counter, and she's like cracking up, chuckling, laughing. And she goes, I am so sorry. I'll never ask you. So anyway, did I have a Bible in my hand? Could I reach my phone over there? Let alone, could I read the words? Because I just came from the eye appointment over to the lab, dilated, blurry. Could I read the words on the Bible? No. But was the word in me? Was it hidden inside of me? With me having the combination ready to release it at that moment, at the moment that person needed it. Amen? So that's, not only do you have the word in you for yourself, you have it in you for others. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the second thing that I learned. So the first thing is I learned about getting the word in you. We the first thing that came to me was the immunizations about how we have to have the word in me. Now, I guess everybody should probably know what these things are. But if you're my age or probably older, you definitely know what they are. We call them PICs. I don't know what PIC stands for. I don't think the inventor knows what PICs stand for. We just call them a PIC. But it's that green coil thing that you try not to break when you stick it on the little aluminum stand and you hold a match or a lighter to it and let it light, and it sends off smoke. And for about 6 or 8 hours, it puts smoke into the air to keep the mosquitoes away. I was going to bring one tonight, and I didn't do it, mainly because they smell and I didn't want it on my hands. But anyway, as I'm laying in the bed and I have the net over the bed, as we're getting close to dusk and we take off to get something to eat, everybody's lighting the picks in the room and then in the main living room of the missions house, you know, we light a couple of more because we fill the whole place with this pick stuff to keep the mosquitoes out. So it's creating an atmosphere of repellent or smoke to keep the mosquitoes away. So, and I got thinking about that, and I thought we need to create an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost around us. Amen? And you know, the best way I know to do that is pray and pray in the Spirit. And if I go to Jude, or if you go to Jude, or let's all go to Jude 20 and 21. There's only one chapter, so you can. It's right before Revelation. But it's, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. Pray yourself, build yourself up. I was reading a while ago, and Brother Hagin has this little book, Why Tongues. You can get them out in a bookstore. I'd hope you guys all have them and read it. But I encourage you, if you don't or if you've never even seen it before, I encourage you to go out in the bookstore and get some. And if we don't, we'll bring some up here next week. But inside this little booklet, Why Tongues, he tells a little story. And I just want to read this story to you real quick, just as an example. Howard Carter, who was a general supervisor of the Assemblies of God in Great Britain for many years and founder of the oldest Pentecostal Bible school in the world, pointed out that we must not forget that speaking in other tongues is not only the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling, but is a continual experience for the rest of one's life. For what purpose? To assist us in the worship of God. Speaking in tongues is a flowing stream which should never dry up and will enrich the life spiritually. Continuing to pray and worship God in tongues helps us to be ever conscious of his indwelling presence. If I can be conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit every day, it is bound to affect the way I live. A minister's 12-year-old daughter once lost her temper and was talking rudely and hatefully to her mother. A visiting evangelist overheard the scene. When the girl looked up and saw him, knowing he had witnessed her tantrum, she was embarrassed and broke into tears. I'm sorry you saw me act this way and heard what I said, and she cried. Honey, he said, there is one greater than I am who saw you and heard you. You are a Christian, aren't you? She said, yes. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he asked, and she said, yes. Well then, the Holy Ghost is in you. He knows what you said and how you acted. But if you will repent, the Lord will forgive you. They prayed together. She repented and in a little while began to worship God in tongues. Then he said to her, here is a secret that will help you curb your temper. If you will pray and worship God every day in tongues, it will help you be conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. If you will remember that he is in you, you won't act that way. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you to pray and pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the more and more you pray in the Holy Ghost, if you ever happen to be in the laboratory of a VA hospital and some guy is telling you he has a bad day, you might get him filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But you know, and there's other times, and probably at the end, if we have time, I'll tell a couple more stories. But there's times that the Holy Ghost will tell you to pray for somebody, or tell you to do this, or he'll warn you of certain things. And if you don't know what to pray, and again, that's probably part of praying in the Holy Ghost. If you, I mean, you can start praying in English, you can mix it back and forth if you want, but if you really don't know what to pray, in Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Okay? So you just pray in the Spirit. There was another mission trip that I took prior to the Kenya trip, and again, because this is recorded, I'm really not at liberty to say where it was, but it was another country, and we had gone into the country, and you're just not supposed to take Bibles and religious materials and whatnot when you go in, but the plan was, out of the three of us, we were going to split the books up at our first place, and when we met the third guy, we were going to split the books up again. Things didn't work out. They didn't have the empty duffel bags or room in their suitcase. So yours truly is carrying 150 books in two suitcases into this country, Believer's Authority, In the Name of Jesus, and you know, a bunch of these little booklets and whatnot. And so was I a little nervous? Probably. Okay. And but there were times that I had to say, wait a minute, I've already been given an assignment and I've already been told what I'm going to speak on when we get to this place. So why should I be concerned that I'm going to get stopped at customs and immigrations for having all these books when I know what I'm speaking at when we get there? So I'm okay, but still, you pray in the Holy Ghost. Because, again, you do look for guidance and direction, you know, whenever you start to do things. And I'll probably skip ahead and tell part of a little story. But I knew a husband and wife missionary team, and they have children. And their daughter was used to them traveling around, and they would go in and out of some different countries that they probably shouldn't be carrying some Bibles in. But she's used to traveling with them. And of course, she's filled with the Holy Ghost, prays in tongues, hears the Holy Ghost, gets guidance and gets direction. But how many of you know sometimes it's good to have confirmation on some things? Well, her parents were her confirmation that whenever they start to go through customs and immigration, everything, you know, they're pretty much fine and they go together. But she became 18, 19, 20 years old. She's an adult. She's branching out, doing missionary trips on her own. And here she is with about 50 or 100 Bibles going into a country that doesn't like Bibles. And she's by herself. Okay? And the Lord told her, and when I heard this story from her, I thought it was amazing. Okay? This was probably 10, 12 years ago. But the Lord just very simply told her, go to this line. So she goes to that line. And the way that she had told her parents is she was nervous as anything. She was sweating bullets because it's like, oh my gosh, you weren't there to confirm that I'm right. But she said, go to this line. So she goes to that line. And the next thing you know, they're inspecting things in front of her. The guy looks at her and says, oh, you're an American. Come on in. Thank you. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I share that story to say that we get off of an airplane into this country, 3 o'clock in the morning. I got two suitcases. I just go through immigrations and they give us a visa, stamp our passport. The three of us are walking and we're going down this hallway. We turn left. There's a couple of X-ray machines and about 15 customs immigration agents from this country. And they're all standing there like this. We're the only flight. 3 o'clock in the morning, we're the only flight. How many of you know that 15 customs immigration agents are pretty bored at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's no flights? And I got the two suitcases. I look at the other two guys, and just by the Holy Spirit, it's like we just look at the exit, and the three of us just walk to the exit. I mean, here's the X-ray machines and them. The exit's in that corner. We just look at it, and we just go. Hallelujah. And they start snatching people behind us and forming a line, and everybody gets inspected. And the three of us are already walking outside looking for our ride. Hallelujah. So pray in the Holy Ghost, but also you pray to where you build that atmosphere of the Holy Ghost around you, and you listen and be sensitive. Be sensitive, because if you get a check about something, or if you hear something, if you hear direction, don't just, whatever. I've done that before. I've done the whatever before, and it wasn't too good afterwards. Not on a mission trip. It was, you know, forgetting things and whatever. But, and, you know, even if it's as simple as anything, the Holy Ghost will do his best to remind you. He will remind you. It's just up to us if we're going to listen. Okay, so we'll just move along a little bit quickly, and let's go to the third point. I've talked about this net, this net that's around us, okay? So I call it like a net of protection, because the Lord is there to protect us. God will protect us. And in Psalm 16:5, I like the New Living Translation. It says, "Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine." Amen. And in Psalm 17:7-9, "Show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By your mighty power, you rescue those who seek refuge from their enemies. Guard me as you would guard your own eyes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me from the wicked people who attack me, from murderous enemies who surround me." Shadow me under your wings. It's like a mother hen. It's like when something starts happening, when something negative or something bad is going to happen, when the enemy comes in, all the chicks run underneath the mother hen, and she stretches out her wings and covers. And that's what God's going to do. He's going to stretch out his arms. He's going to cover you. He's going to protect you and keep you safe. Hebrews 1, verse 13 and 14, "And God never said to any of the angels, 'Sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet.' Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation." So as you start praying, okay, I'm talking about mission trips, but I'm also talking about your general life. When you pray daily, when you pray in the spirit, or when you pray in English, okay, but also send the ministering spirits out to protect you, to keep you safe. You get up in the morning and you put your hand on the car, or you get in the car and you say, "Ministering angels, I command you to go forth and keep me safe and protected as I drive to work, drive to school, drive to wherever, drive back home." Okay. With my grandson, I put my hands on him. If I'm there in the morning when he goes off to school, I put my hands on him and I'll say, "Father, I thank you for a great school and great friends and great teachers for him to go to. I pray that you keep him safe and protected all day long. I pray that you send them, and I command ministering angels to go forth and keep him safe and protected in everything that he does, in PE, in recess, in soccer practice, in whatever he does." Okay? "I plead the blood of Jesus over him. I cover him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet." Amen. I pray that he gives him instant recall. He can remember the things that he's taught, and he remembers the things that he's supposed to be taught that day. And then I also go further and I say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I claim that if he doesn't know what to do, I pray that you remind him that all he needs to do is say, 'Father, in the name of Jesus, help me.'" Okay. And that's a little 2 or 3 minute prayer. Okay, but we're teaching him the ways that he's supposed to grow up in. But see, we could also do the same thing ourselves. Amen. I do the same thing myself. When I fly an airplane, I'm pre-flighting the airplane. My hands are all over that airplane. And I say, in the name of Jesus, you know, I send ministering angels forth to keep me safe and protected, that this plane works and functions properly the way that it's supposed to. All solids, liquids, and gases from nose to tail, wingtip to wingtip, top to bottom. That nothing crashes or bumps into me, and I don't crash or bump into anything else. That's what we do, okay? We put that net of protection around us whenever we go or whatever we do. The last thing is pretty much exampled by a lot of what I just got through talking about, is when you send the angels out, the ministering angels, okay? But not just sending them out, it's for anything. It's using your words. Because the fourth thing, as I was laying in that bed, I thought about the immunizations, about how we got to get the word inside of us. I thought about putting an atmosphere around us because of the pick, the little mosquito smoke thing, about how we pray in the Spirit to get that atmosphere of the Holy Spirit around us. I talked about putting that net of protection around us. We send the angels out, and God is there to protect us and keep us safe all the day long. Amen. But the fourth thing is, as I was sitting there, I thought about the third warning, the natural warning that we got. We had the hepatitis and we had the malaria, but the water, okay? You know, the water in some of the foreign countries just really isn't up or down to the standards that we're used to drinking. Amen? So I thought about the water. We were told that when we take a shower, don't open our mouths. Don't use the water to shave. Don't drink the water. Don't use the water to brush your teeth. I mean, we even stopped at a store on the way there and we bought all these gallons of like a 2-liter thing of water. And I mean, we had more water than we needed, actually. And that's what we used to drink and brush our teeth and shave in and whatnot. I don't know about you, but I'm the type of guy that when I'm in the shower, I just open my mouth and let the water go through. Whenever I'm shaving, I put the hot water on and I splash water in my mouth, and it's refreshing. But when I was there in Kenya, can't do that. Got to keep my mouth shut. Don't let the water in. About the fourth day there, I just like, forget it. I just open my mouth, let the water, because there's sometimes you just got to open your mouth, right? Well, that's the fourth thing that I thought about when I was laying there, is sometimes you just got to open your mouth. And in Ephesians 6, verse 18 and 20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen? So sometimes you just got to open your mouth and you just got to give it what for. Okay, and I think of Jesus when Satan tried to tempt him. Okay, what did he do? Satan saying, "Well, you know, turn this stone into bread and do this and jump off of here and flip upside down and do backflips and I'll make you the king of everything." That's the Greg Finley highly paraphrased version. But he gave him what for? He said, "It is written. It is written. It is written. Go pound sand. I'm not doing it because I already got it." Amen. So it all goes back to, let me just say in Ephesians 6, Paul says that the sixth thing necessary in spiritual warfare is to use the word of God as a sword and go on the offense, okay? There's no secret. I was in the military. I was in the Marine Corps. What may be unknown to you guys, my wife was in the Marine Corps as well. I have to give her credit. Every time somebody says, "You were in the military," we're talking 10 or 15 minutes, and she's like, "I was too." So I have to give her credit whenever I talk about it. We both retired from the Marine Corps. But one thing that we learned about warfare is when you go on the attack and you defeat the enemy, you follow through. You don't just back off and say, "Okay, we got the hill, we're going to occupy." No, you follow through, okay? And if the enemy is running, you go get them. You follow through is what you do, and then you maintain them. You don't back off and the territory that you just took over, you don't back off from it and let the enemy reoccupy it, do you? You hold on to it. You follow through. You reinforce it with troops. So what you do here is whenever the enemy tries to attack, you go on the offense. The word, if you go back to the immunizations of getting the word inside of you, once you got that word inside of you, you use it like a sword. You go on the offense. You give the enemy what for. You tell Satan what's going to happen. And when you think you're done, but you feel like you got something else to say, just break out Revelations and start reading it to him. I don't think he's too fond of that. Somewhere around chapter 20, when he starts realizing what his future is, he already knows what his future is. Just remind him of it. Just remind him of it, okay? You take the enemy off their guard. You give them a 1-2, and then you, once they're started stammering around, you just start hitting them. You follow through. You follow through with the word. You let him know everything that you have because you're a child of God. Amen? I don't think I'm going to go in it. Some of these stories are just about the same. I already shared two of the four that I was looking at sharing. But essentially the other two, I'll just summarize it by saying, you know, I have a neighbor down the end of the street. And, you know, I went down and he was just down in his driveway one time a while back. And we've had some conversations and he's had some rough times. And we were talking and he's in a denominational type of a church. And I was just down there, and just what came up from inside of me is, you're going to pray for him. At this point, I didn't know what I'm praying for him for. So I'm just, you know, under my breath, I'm mumbling in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying in the Spirit, trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm like, Lord, just reveal to me. Show me what's supposed to happen. Just what do I need to pray for? And wouldn't you know it, within about 30 seconds, my neighbor says, I've been reading a lot about this Holy Spirit stuff, and I don't know exactly what it's about. Do you know what it's about? So after I got to share with him that word that was inside of me, I prayed with him. He's filled the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Amen. And then another story I was going to share is why I shared how, you know, I've worked on cars, and I've shared how I've renovated my house. So mechanically, I guess I'm inclined. I guess I can work on it, or I can sort of figure it out and pretend to work on it so she thinks I'm a genius. But anyway, just, I don't know, a year or two ago, we had our spring doors, or the springs on our garage doors, one of them broke. I've replaced springs before. We had a house in California and in Maryland. I've replaced the springs before. There's nothing I could do it. I just didn't have the time to do it. You know, there's other things that I wanted to do, and there's other things that I'm in the middle of doing, and some of it I could do at the house. So I said, you know what, I'm going to call the place, have the guy come out, put the springs on while I'm doing this other stuff. It's time management, okay? And it wasn't that much more for them to come out and do it. Well, I never finished doing what I was supposed to do. In the first part of the conversation with the guy standing in my garage, he's already replaced one spring, he's working on the other one, and we just started talking, and he's had a few issues, a few hiccups in life, a little brief interruption of his life process, but he's had a few hiccups in life and a few things he's concerned about. He's born again, but you know, as I listened to him for about 15 and 20 minutes, I even helped him work on some of this stuff. But the Lord just prompted me to pray with him. And I prayed with him. I prayed for some of the things that was going on in his life. You know, his son decided to make a separated divorced family. And the son, who primarily lives with his ex-wife, was making a very big life-changing decision now that he's 18 years old. And he found out about it on Facebook, you know, before he had a chance to call his dad, let him know what's going on. And I mean, just several different things. And also this guy was wanting to break out and do his own business. So I got to spend a few moments and pray with him. It wasn't convenient. Okay. And this is just a little extra nugget, is usually a lot of things that the Lord has you do for other people, it's really not convenient for you. Okay. But yield to the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. And so all of this was just on the mission trip. Just a few moments of laying in bed. A lot of this came to me about the mission trip, but you can apply it to your life. You can apply it to your everyday life, okay? It doesn't have to be first thing in the morning. It doesn't have to be the last thing at night. It doesn't have to be during your entire lunch break. But I mentioned time management. Put God in there, okay? Put him in there. Read the word, continue to pray, pray in the Spirit. Not only pray in English, pray in the Spirit. How long do you pray? I don't know how long you pray. Somebody asked Brother Hagin, how long do you pray? And he says, I don't pray for more than 5 minutes, but I don't go more than 5 minutes without praying. Okay. It was explained to me one time, pray until you're satisfied. There's been times I was satisfied in 15 minutes, but there's times like an hour, hour and a half later, I'm just not satisfied. So what do I do when I'm not satisfied? I go to Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us and groans, and he basically pray in the Spirit. Amen. Pray in the Spirit. And then as you pray in the Spirit, I mean, there's this, well, many times, but there's this one time in particular, I'm praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and then the English comes. And then I get some stuff that I really need to pray about. And he will, actually, in the middle of the prayer, he'll remind me of other things I need to pray for. And if you don't want to go that far, just write it down when you think of it. And when you pray, it's right there on paper. But anyway, just pray in the Spirit. Amen. So I just want to encourage you guys that no matter what you do, just give time to God. Pray or get the word inside of you. Read, study, meditate on the word. Get the word inside of you. Pray in the Spirit. Okay, whenever you go out and do stuff, put that net of protection around you. And then finally, when you need to, open your mouth. Whether you have to put the devil in this place or whether you're standing in a garage talking to some guy fixing your door and you got other things to do, pray for him, talk with him. Okay, don't mean you have to preach to him, just talk with him. The Holy Ghost will tell you what you need to say when you need to say it. Quite often I pray that the Lord give me wisdom. When I know I'm going into a situation, I say, give me wisdom so I know what to say and what not to say. Amen. Because the flesh might want to get in the way and it's like, well, you just tell them. Now you may not need to do that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you got something out of this tonight. But listen, if there's anybody in here and everybody just go ahead and bow your heads real quick. And if there's anybody in here that for one reason or another, they say, well, you know what? I try to get the word inside of me and it's just difficult. I can't get the word inside of me. I've never even tried to get the word in me. I've never read the Bible. I don't know how to pray in the Spirit. I've never prayed before. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you would, just go ahead and raise your hand right now. Just let me know. If you're born again, but you know what? You've had a few hiccups in life. You've backslidden a little bit. You fell away. And you feel that you just need to rededicate your life. If you would, just go ahead and raise your hand. Hallelujah. 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 I see a hand. Amen. If you're born again, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're like, you know what? I've heard over and over and over again about praying in the Spirit. I don't know what that's about, or I know what it's about, but I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight so you can pray in tongues, if you would just go ahead and raise your hand. Hallelujah. 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 If everybody will stand. If everybody will stand. And if you've raised your hand, if you would go ahead and just come forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to receive Jesus for the first time in your life, don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. If you want to rededicate yourself, I was born again when I was in the third grade, and I really couldn't tell you at that time I knew what it was all about. But it wasn't until many years later I said, you know what? I haven't been living the way I was supposed to live. So I said, I want to make sure. I want to know that I'm born again. And I made that walk up front. And I didn't think about how embarrassing it was. I thought about what I'm getting out of it. I thought about that I am receiving Jesus Christ into my life. I am rededicating my life. Hallelujah. In John chapter 4, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4, and towards the end of Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about how we are created according to God, and we are righteous and holy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, we thank you. Father, I pray that everything I said tonight fell on hunger and eager ears, Father. I pray that I spoke as you would have me to speak, Father. I pray that everybody got something out of this. And most importantly, Father, I pray that each and every person in here was blessed and you loved them with the words that were spoken tonight, Father. As everybody takes off and goes their way throughout the week, Father, I pray that you protect each and every one of them. You keep them safe. And ministering angels, I do command you to go forth and keep everybody in this room safe and protected from anything that may come to them. And Holy Ghost, I pray that you warn them and you bring things to their attention that needs to be brought to their attention. And it doesn't have to be all bad, Father. Holy Ghost, I pray that you bring the good things to them as well, sales and discounts and clearances and stuff that they've been looking for, Father. I thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go back there. He's going to sing a song, and we're going to call it a night. And y'all have a great week. Thank you.